Welcome to Inspired Living with Mark Lanehart, the intuitive prospector. Every Wednesday, Mark, along with his special guests, will explore thought-provoking topics and ideas that promote creativity, self-help, healing, happiness, and well-being to inspire you on your spiritual journey. Each week, Mark will discuss different paths to achieving a more spiritual, balanced, happy, and healthy lifestyle. Topics will elevate consciousness and range from metaphysics to the human and social experience and all things spiritual. Welcome to an inspired community that offers support, encouragement, and new ways of thinking. Mark is a tested, certified, and professional spiritual medium, metaphysical teacher, healer, and spiritual advisor with a spiritual practice based in Seattle, Washington. You are the inspired and the inspiration.
Let us never forget our solemn pledge. We must believe in our ability to work together to solve our toughest problems. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you may be. This is another episode of Inspired Living. I am your host, Mark Lanehart, the Intuitive Prospector, and I want to say thank you so much for being here today. Wisdom Wednesdays at 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern, and thank you so much for making Inspired Living a top podcast to listen to in 2022. We are now number 22 out of the 70 best inspirational podcasts to check out in 2022. And it's because of you, the fans, the listeners, our inspired listeners. We love to say you are the inspired and the inspiration for getting us on the air every Wednesday to bring amazing guests, topics, discussions, encouragement, motivations, what have you. And today, I'd like to take this time to dedicate the show. I know Memorial Day has just passed, but this is a very important part of our history, D-Day, the Battle of Midway, Memorial Day, and I want to take this time to thank our veterans, both those that are actively serving, those that have served, and those that have made the ultimate sacrifice for us to enjoy the freedoms that we have today. And just a reminder for democracy, freedom is not free. It has been paid by many to enjoy what we have today. So we're going to spend the next hour talking with a special guest that's joining us live. His name is Joe Reagan, and he's joining us, and I want to just read a little bit about his background. He is the director for Wreaths Across America, and when I saw this come through, I love the mission on, you know, finding a way to serve our veterans, you know, let us never forget our solemn pledge. It's about remembering, it's about honoring, it's about teaching. And just a little bit about Joe Reagan. He's the director of military and veterans outreach for Wreaths Across America. He has almost 20 years of experience working with leaders within government, nonprofit, and Fortune 500 companies to develop sustainable strategies that supports national security and veterans' health. He served 8 years on active duty as an officer in the U.S. Army, including two tours to Afghanistan with the 10th Mountain Division. So there was definitely some action there. He is the recipient of multiple awards and decorations, including the Bronze Star and the Purple Heart. Joe, thank you for your service. Thank you for being here, and welcome to Inspired Living. How are you, my friend?
I'm wonderful, Mark. Thank you so much for having me, and thank you for your service, too. If I remember correctly, you had service in the United States Coast Guard, so you know, always good to be talking to fellow veterans.
Yes, sir. And when I saw this come through, I wanted to talk about this because I also work for our veterans as well with my day job. And I think it's an important service to bring awareness, to talk about what our veterans are going through, to not only talk about Wreaths Across America and that mission that you're supporting and in charge of, but to also talk about suicide prevention, because that's something that's really hitting our not only our active duty members, but those that have either, you know, retired or those that are just transitioning out of service into the private sector. So let's start with the mission, Wreaths Across America, to remember, to honor, to teach. I know on Memorial Day, 1945, the war in Europe had ended, And I know that some of the dates that have just passed are very significant, including D-Day, including the Battle of Midway. I have gone to France and actually stood on the beaches of both Omaha and Juneau Beach to remember and honor our amazing, courageous veterans that stormed those beaches during D-Day. And with the war ending in 1945, the fighting in the Pacific continued. A lot of people don't know that. The war in Europe ended, but the war in the Pacific continued. And it was Lieutenant General Lucien Truscott who voiced remarks at the Sicily-Rome American Cemetery in Nettuno, Italy. He actually turned his back on the assembled VIPs. He faced the rows upon rows of headstones and apologized to the 20,000 fallen Americans who had been laid to rest far from home. He was quoted as saying, "All over the world, our soldiers sleep beneath the crosses. It's a challenge to us, all allied nations, to ensure that they do not and have not died in vain." End quote. I've stood in those graveyards. They're very powerful. They're very, I don't know if I have the words for it, very, just makes your hair stand up. And it's just very transformative. Yeah.
It is. And you know, one of the things as we come on the anniversary of D-Day, 20 years after D-Day, Dwight D. Eisenhower sat down with Walter Cronkite and actually went through those headstones and walked through and kind of walked through the experiences of D-Day. In addition to the emotions portrayed by General Truscott, General Eisenhower, President Eisenhower, went through and he looked at this and said, you know, these men bought us time to do better. And at the time, in the context, it could be very easy for us to think that that was about D-Day invasion. The men that died bought us time to make those inches. And literally, D-Day was a battle of gaining inches on this beach. Mm-hmm. But when you look at the way that Eisenhower was really approaching this, is he was talking about buying us collective time, in that it's our obligation, each and every one of us, to live our lives each and every day to live up to that legacy that these men and women have left behind for us. It's our job to do better. And I know that you probably know this, and, you know, Memorial Day for Americans is a holiday, is a single day observance. But for those of us that have served, for those of us that have made the ultimate sacrifice, or know someone that has made the ultimate sacrifice, Memorial Day is really every day for us. There's not a day go by that I don't think of friends like Adam Kennedy or Tony Palermo, who made the ultimate sacrifice in defense of this country. And it really does allow, it forces you to consider what an honor and what a privilege it is to live in this amazing country. And, you know, it's up to us to make the most of it. It's up to us to be the ones that, live the lives that they will never have the opportunity to live. And that was something that Eisenhower said. You know, he reflected on the fact that his son graduated from West Point on D-Day, and his son did make it to Europe for the final part of the war. But he said, listen, you know, my son, you know, fought in the war, and he was able to come home, and he has a family, and he's been able to do all these amazing things that these boys, when we think about D-Day, these were boys, you never had that opportunity. And so I think that all of us is something that we can keep in our mindset of, you know, this can be an inspiration to every American of to realize that the weight of sacrifice that's been made on our behalf and how we can leverage that in our daily lives.
And I love that. And I love how D-Day really did buy us time, you know, because we could be living in a completely different reality, you know, based on how things went for World War II. There's a lot of different factors that people don't even know about. In fact, we just watched a movie that talks about Operation Mincemeat, and that was about the invasion, one of the biggest intelligent operations to actually come up through Sicily in Italy to be able to, help end the war in Italy, but also to end the war in Europe. And a lot of people don't know that, myself included. I just learned about that. And it was just fascinating to see all of the things that went into the bravery, the courage, the intelligence, these young boys that you talk about that are just starting their life to give and sacrifice so much for us. So, Joe, I'm just curious, is there any relation to, with the last name of Reagan, is there any relationship to the Reagans?
Not that I've found yet, although I will tell you a funny story. When I was in Afghanistan for my first deployment, and working with a lot of older Afghans that had been around during the time of the Soviet war. Many of them would see the same thing. They would see the last name and immediately associate that with President Reagan and all that he did for the Mujahideen. So it's quite funny. So oftentimes, don't lie to you. There were times that it was beneficial to be like, oh, yeah. It's a distant relative of mine. But truth be told.
Yeah, so I thought I'd ask just because I just saw the last name. Yeah, now I'm thinking of, President Reagan, Gorbachev, tear down this wall. Right. So tell us a little bit more in depth about this program, Wreaths Across America, because for our inspired listeners out there, we have listeners all around the globe. They may not know what this service is and what we do every year for our veterans.
Right. So Wreaths Across America was actually, it was really a family tradition that started in 1992. Our founder, Morrill Worcester, owns a wreath-making company. And in 1992, he found himself with about 5,000 extra wreaths. He was going to take those wreaths and he was going to go to Ireland because he remembered a trip when he was a young man that he was able to go to Ireland. And it really stuck with him, the weight, how much goes into securing our freedoms. And so fast forward to 1992, Morrill decides that he's going to take these 5,000 wreaths and he's going to drive down to Arlington National Cemetery and he's going to lay them on the headstones of our veterans. And of course, at first, he's going to do what? But with the help of the main congressional delegation, they were able to go down there and they went to an older part of the cemetery where it was mostly Civil War era veterans. And Morrill had this kind of epiphany. He was like, none of these people have living relatives anymore. Who comes to honor these people? Who comes to honor these men each and every year? And so he kind of committed to doing this year after year. And then in 2005, they went down again. It was still a relatively small affair. And he it snowed. And a staff photographer from Arlington went out and took a photo of all these wreaths in the snow. And he decided that it kind of went viral. And people from across the country started reaching out saying, hey, we want to do this too. We want this to be in our community. And so in 2007, we became an independent 501c3 with the mission to remember, honor, and teach. That's remember the fallen, honor all those who serve, and teach our children the value of freedom. And I think that when we talk about, like as we were talking about the history of how much military history exists in this country, it's really quite impressive when you think about it. And so few children have that direct connection to. Oftentimes, they don't really understand exactly what it means to serve. And so part of the way is we see this goal of just a wreath laying. This is really an opportunity to teach our young people about sacrifice, about serving the community, about all the values that we hold so dear as Americans. Oh, there we are. I'm back.
Oh, there we go. A little bit of delay. Can you hear me now?
I can, yes.
Okay, sorry about that. A little bit of energy coming in for today's show, just remembering our veterans. But I was just saying, I love the mission of to remember those that have served, to honor those that have served, and to teach those that may not be aware of service, what it is to be in service to something bigger than yourself. And I'm always amazed at how America became America with not just World War II, but just the Revolutionary War and all the things that made democracy, which is a test, to be what it is today, and all of those that have served this great nation of ours. So this started back in, did you say the mid-90s? The actual official where it became a 501c?
501c3 was in 2007.
2007, okay. And how long have you been the director? How long have you been in charge of this mission? Joe?
I'm here.
Lucia? How long have you been the director? How long have you been in charge of this mission?
So I've been with Reads Across America for coming up on just a year. So one of the, prior to coming to Reads, I worked for an organization that worked a lot with homeless veterans or veterans that are struggling with mental health challenges. And as part of that, was a partner with Reads Across America for, as part of our fundraising initiative. So through our Reads program, Reads Across America has given over $17 million back to local nonprofits to support their mission. And so through that program, I got to know the Worcester family very well. And at one point, Karen Worcester reached out to me and she said, you know what, one of these days, I'm going to steal you and you're going to come work for me. And about a year ago, the opportunity presented itself where it just seemed like, no, this makes sense. This is where I'm supposed to be. And so I've been there with the program now full time for a year and have really enjoyed every minute of it.
Well, again, thank you for your service. And we're going to go to our first break here. But when we come back, I do want to pick this up about the program, but also talk about, you had mentioned mental health, suicide prevention, what our veterans are going through on a daily basis. And for our Inspired listeners out there, if you want to follow us, you can follow us at Facebook under Inspired Living Radio and Podcasts. And you can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram under the handle Inspired for Us. So we're going to just take this moment to pause, to honor, to remember, to teach, and just dedicate this episode to all of our veterans.
The future of internet radio is here. OM Times Radio, IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Listeners, we hope you're enjoying the shows here on OM Times Radio. Mark Lanehart here and host of Inspired Living Radio. And I'd like to invite you to my morning show of inspiration, encouragement, healing, motivations, transformations, and discovering that diamond within. Metaphysical Mocha Mondays every Monday morning at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, over on the Intuitive Prospector Facebook page and my YouTube channel, Soul Adventures. Dare to dream, dare to explore, dare to live and discover that diamond within.
You came across someone struggling with hunger. How would you recognize them? Would you notice an 8-year-old girl who's not excited for summer break
because she may not be having lunch again until September?
Or a war veteran who's having a hard time
landing a job and getting back on his feet?
I am the 1 in 8 Americans who struggle with hunger. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
And welcome back to Inspired Living. Welcome to our guest, Joe Reagan, who is the director of military and veterans outreach for Wreaths Across America. He is also a Bronze Star and Purple Heart recipient. He's joining us today just to talk about our veterans, this wonderful program, and to also just give us a little bit more insight, you know, about what's going on with our veterans today, mental health, suicide awareness, suicide prevention, and of course, you know, this program, Wreaths Across America. So welcome back, Joe. Hopefully we got a better connection for you.
I'm trying. I live out in Colorado, and regardless of where I am, I feel like I can always find myself in a hole, even if it's just walking in one room to the next. So hopefully we're in a good position now. But, awesome. You know, I do appreciate Mark having us on and talking about this. And, you know, I love the fact that this is, you know, inspiration radio. You're talking about things that can inspire us. You know, in the op-ed that you quoted at the beginning of the the segment, we talk about the veteran experience, and a lot of people don't necessarily understand the experience that our veterans have, especially when they come home, and how they process these different types of things. So it's really important for us to be able to share these stories. And like I said, through our mission to teach, I think that is a tremendously important part of what we do, to be able to share these firsthand accounts of what veterans are able to accomplish. And, I'm not a clinician. I mean, I'm a business guy. That's my background. But I do surround myself with a lot of very smart people that have studied things like post-traumatic stress, like depression, all these different challenges. And the thing that comes back to me is that when you really want to sum up the veteran experience, in economics, there's this thing called the impossible trinity, where you have three kind of decisions that you can make, but you can only ever pick two, and the third is never really an option. And so when I think of the veteran's experience, oftentimes I think of that impossible trinity in terms of grit, grief, and guilt. And people don't necessarily always affiliate those three with each other, but I feel like it's really important because it's really easy for veterans to grieve. And I think oftentimes we don't necessarily understand our own grieving process. We're probably not great at it. I mean, the culture of our military is one of independence, of resilience, of personal responsibility. So it's difficult sometimes for veterans to find a good grief path, as they're grieving the loss of a friend, and oftentimes multiple friends. And this is not something that just happens in combat. If you look at my own personal background, obviously during my first deployment, being a Purple Heart recipient, the assumption there is, it was not an easy deployment. And we did see a lot of combat, but I've lost more troops at home to suicide than I did to that experience in combat. And so it's easy to feel that type of grief. And it's also common to feel guilt. So guilt on the other end of that is, well, I could have done more, or what if I had done this, or what if we had this asset? So, you get into this pattern of what ifs. And so it's really easy to feel guilty, whether it be survivor's guilt or whatever you want to call it. But then there's grit. And I think grit is something that is inherently a trait of our military. But it has to be a choice. You have to choose to pursue that. And I think when we get back into General Truscott's remarks on Memorial Day in the 1940s, that's exactly what he was getting at. We can choose to feel that guilt and the grief, or we can choose to experience one of those and then go with the grit. And, for me personally, I'm tremendously motivated by our Gold Star families. When you look at what they do, these are the families that have lost a loved one as a result of their service. And they are, they continue to serve these communities. I spoke with Joanne Maitland, who's the president of American Gold Star Mothers. And that's, one of the things that she said about American Gold Star Mothers is, their goal is, to serve, because they believe that it is their obligation to continue to serve their community, to continue to volunteer, to continue to give back, not just for them, but for the loved one, the son or daughter that they lost. And I think that as veterans, we can learn something from that. And even if we're not veterans, if you're just someone that maybe had a friend that you went to high school with that, was killed in combat or killed as a result of their service, or really, even if it's a grandparent that maybe didn't serve, but just if we're going through that experience, to take those negative emotions associated with the loss and turn it into something positive, because we want to make sure that we're living up to their legacy. That is what is so tremendously important about that. That is how we can really, move through these different emotions.
Yeah. And, survivor's guilt is a big one. Outside of my you know, podcasting duties. I do work for the VA in our healthcare system, which is one of the largest healthcare systems in America. Right. And, you know, my job, I am clinical. I'm a healthcare provider, but I do a lot of data management, analytical work, doing reports. And, you know, from the data that we're seeing with our current veterans today, you know, on average, we're looking at about 22 veterans every single day across the United States that are, you know, attempting suicide, committing suicide. And I think you make an important point, Joe, in the fact of that grief that you live with and not honoring your grief. I always remind people there is a difference between grief and mourning. Grief is that internal process, which is different for everybody. But I always remind people to honor your grief. Do something that helps you recover. You know, maybe that's singing, dancing, writing, doing something that honors your brothers that you served with to, you know, be closer to them. But find a way to honor your grief. And I think a lot of our veterans haven't honored their grief. And that's where that guilt, that survivor's guilt and the different, you know, emotions that come with serving our country, because we do see a lot and we're exposed to a lot of things. And it's not every day I get to literally hang out with a Bronze Star and Purple Heart recipient in my book, a hero that, you know, served this country, especially for the 10th Mountain Division. My goodness, I can't even imagine. But yeah, you know, dealing with PTSD and some of the things that we're looking at, even at the Veterans Administration, of some of the services now that were once, you know, kind of frowned upon, are now looking upon for our veterans. For example, marijuana, hemp, psychedelics, working with, you know, depression and PTSD, and including lawnmowers. But, you know, it's I thought it was just an important concept to talk about today, because I have laid a wreath. My producer, Chris, you know, he's had, you know, wreaths laid at his father's and his grandfather's headstones at Arlington. You know, and I think, you know, today's show is just to be grateful and to talk about our veterans in a way that helps them, but also brings awareness to those that may not understand what our veterans are going through right now.
Right. Well, and, you know, one of the things that we talk a lot about is purpose, you know, finding purpose. You know, there's many millions of books out there talking about purpose-driven life or having something that drives you. And I, quite frankly, I see this a lot in my, you know, my grandparents. You know, my grandfather is a 90-year-old Korean War era veteran, and the guy is distraught over not being able to find a job, not because he needs it, but because he needs a reason to get up in the morning. He needs that purpose. And I think that you see that so often in the veterans community, where, you know, people that have volunteered to serve our country, and that is something that is, you know, fairly unique about the post 9/11 generation of veterans, is that every man and woman that has served over the past 20 years was a volunteer. And so at some point, and you know, for folks like myself, you know, I entered the service 2 years after 9/11. And so went in with 100% open eyes that, you know, my experience was going to be, I was going to graduate college, I was going to accept my commission, I was going to get about a year of training, and then I was going overseas. And I had seen classmates of mine that had followed that same path and didn't come home. And it's part of our core values to make those decisions based on purpose, to make those hard decisions because they're the right thing to do. You know, in service is a choice. And so I think it's really amazing. And what we hear from veterans so often when they leave the service is that they feel disconnected from that purpose. You know, and you know, it's funny, I'm at an event right now, and I was talking to some other supporters of veterans initiatives, and they said, well, what's the challenge? I said, well, listen, you know, look at someone like me. And on the outside, you can look at where I'm at and say, wow, this guy's, he's really got his stuff together. You know, he's had success. He's found, you know, he's done a bunch of different things. But at the end of the day, a lot of what I was doing was just following what someone else said was the right thing to do. And as it turns out, it wasn't necessarily the right thing to do for me. And when I came across into the nonprofit world and found this opportunity to serve my fellow veterans, that's when it really came to me that, you know, this is the way that I can continue to give back. I refound that purpose in being able to serve others in the community. And, you know, so I think that that's, you know, to veterans, the message I would want them to take away from this is, you know, you have to find that way to continue to give back, to volunteer. And that might be something like I'm doing, working in the veteran space, or like you're doing, Mark, in the veteran space. But it can also be stuff like, you know, volunteering for a local Little League or Pop Warner League or something, you know, but find that way to continue to give back, to reconnect yourself to that purpose. Because that's where you're going to find not just peace, but success as well.
Yeah, very well said. And, you know, we've done lots of shows here on Inspired Living. We've been on the air for about 7 seasons now. And one of the big concepts is about the human consciousness of purpose, passion. You know, we all have desires, we all have beliefs, and not everything goes our way the way we want it to. But that big one is purpose and finding purpose. And I'd have to say with you, as I was listening to you talk, Joe, one of the things that kind of popped into my mind with all the past shows that I've done, and we've done everything from, you know, meditation to medicine to professional athletes to our veterans. And I think one of the ways that, you know, when I started this podcast and this radio show 7 seasons ago, it was a way to find, you know, to be in service, but to also help with some of the survivor's guilt that I've lived with. And, you know, some of the buddies that I've seen, you know, transition over, not just from, you know, the Coast Guard is not so much a military, you know, fighting force. It's more about protecting and rescuing here in the homeland. But I still saw things that were, you know, sad and trauma and tragic. And I realized, as you were saying, you know, what you were saying, this show is actually part of my honoring my grief. And that's very important to find that purpose by honoring my grief and the loss of that I've gone through, to be able to talk with people like yourself today to inspire, to be inspired, to inspire others, and to inspire before we expire. Because for our listeners out there, FYI, none of us are getting out of this. We're all walking each other home at the end of the day. So it's about what you do with the time you have and the power of now. And, you know, you're in Colorado, but are you out of DC, or where is the head office at for Reefs Across America?
So our head office is actually out of Columbia Falls, Maine, which is up. It's actually north of, if folks that are familiar with Maine-based geography, you might not realize that there is actually something north of Bangor, Maine, but there is. And that's where they are. So we have about 66,000 acres of tree farm that we use. And every one of those reeds is comes from that farm. So it's really quite cool. We have a program that we call the Stem to Stone Initiative, where each one of these trees can be tagged with a replica dog tag for a loved one. This doesn't have to be a veteran that's passed, even a living veteran. So one of the first things that I did when I became part of Reefs Across America was actually provided that replica dog tag for my wife. So gave her, you know, put a dog tag on for my wife's service, because both of us served in the Army. So, you know, making that small motion and having that path that goes from one end to the other, you know, is really motivational for so many different ways. So it's, so Maine is our headquarters, but we've got regional liaisons that are located across the country. And I'm just going to be so fortunate to get to be the one that lives out in Colorado, which is pretty fun.
And, you know, because you're a 501c, and, you know, I know that the mission, you know, this mission continues based on service, sacrifice, and success. For our listeners out there, if they wanted to get involved or if they wanted to contribute, where would we point them to? I have the link on our Facebook page to ReefsAcrossAmerica, of course, .org. But what else, what's something that we could help here on Inspired Living to generate, you know, participation, to generate income, to generate awareness for this wonderful program?
So, like, America.org is where you can learn more about all of our different programs. And we actually have, like you, we have our own radio station, Reefs Across America Radio, that that really tries to be the voice for America's veterans by sharing their stories and sharing those in a firsthand. And actually, at the end of the month, most people might not know, but June is Post-Traumatic Stress Awareness Month. So being able to share those stories and have these open conversations to destigmatize some of the challenges associated with mental health is so critical to what we're doing. Because like I said, this is so much more than a wreath. This is really about sharing the story of our veterans, their voice, and making sure that every veteran in the country, understands that their story is important and that we are heard.
Yeah. And again, the mission is so powerful to remember, to honor, and to teach. I know that you have a $5 back sponsorship group program, and you've given nearly $15 million to organizations around the country, enabling them to provide care for our service members, our veterans, and their families. So again, for our listeners out there, if you want to go to wreathsacrossamerica.org, you can click on it. It's a very interactive website and a great way to add a resource, get involved. And we're going to go to our final break here. But before we do that, I always want to just remind folks for those that may be, experiencing suicide, a family member, a friend, a colleague. And I always promote and I always donate to the Suicide Prevention Lifeline. And that number is 1-800-273-TALK or 1-800-273-8255. You can also find them at suicidepreventionlifeline.org. I always say it's important, it's free, it's confidential, it's always available. If you need to help a loved one, a friend, yourself, learn the warning signs, because right now our veterans are really suffering from, suicide attempts and actual success of suicide, which is very tragic and sad. And we're going to cut to our final break. And when we come back here in just a few minutes, we're going to finish up the show with our special guest today, Joe Reagan, the Director of Military and Veterans Outreach for Wreaths Across America. We'll be right back.
The cutting edge of conscious radio. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Have you wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Imagine yourself being transported to India, to the banks of the Ganga and an ashram in Rishikesh. Visualize that you are welcome to satsang with an American sannyasi who shares the wisdom of her guru. Your visualization has manifested. Join Satvi Bhagavati Saraswati for inspiration and transformation every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio.
One planet, 7.3 billion people, only one you. Life offers us many opportunities and learning experiences. Are you ready to explore and discover this beautiful planet, the life and energy all around us, the spiritual world, and what is unseen, along with your own personal soul adventure? Mark Lanehart, the intuitive prospector, is the spiritual connection you have been prospecting for. Internationally known as a tested and professional clairvoyant medium and spiritual advisor, Mark's work as a metaphysical teacher, medical instructor, radio show host, inspirational writer, and hiking guide are here to help you on a journey of self-discovery, healing, inspiration, education, and a whole lot of spiritual awesomeness. Dare to dream. Dare to explore. Dare to live. For more information on Mark's spiritual practice in Seattle, Washington, please visit marklanehart.com or internet search The Intuitive Prospector.
If I could be you.
And you could be me. For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Right there. And welcome back to Inspired Living, a special edition today as we honor our veterans. We have our special guest today, veteran, Bronze Star and Purple Heart recipient and the Director of Military and Veterans Outreach for Wreaths Across America, also known as WAA, Joe Reagan. Joe, welcome back to the show.
Well, thanks again for having me, Mark. It's time is flying, so we must be having fun.
It does. You know, these topics go by so quick. And, you know, I always do, sometimes we do a part one, but, you know, maybe next season we have you back to continue to talk about this mission and go a little bit more in depth. And I just want to read, you had talked about, you know, President General Dwight D. Eisenhower, and there was a quote that I had written down before the show. And he says this, quote, "In order to ensure proper and widespread observation of this anniversary, all veteran organizations, and the entire citizenry will wish to join hands in the common purpose." And I hope that that's what this show does today, is to bring people together, to bring awareness, to bring participation, to get involved, whether, you know, physically, emotionally, financially, whatever that has, because each and every one of us play a part in preventing veteran suicide. Those who served were there for us when the country called on them, and we need to be there for them when they come home and after they come home, because we wouldn't be enjoying the freedoms and the life we have today without these amazing men, women, and I would now say animals. There are actually animals now that are serving in our military that receive the same honor as our men and women in uniform. So, you know, for our inspired listeners out there, remember, there is no shame in asking for help. You can get your best life back. We all want you to get you all the way home. And these might be tough problems, but they are solvable problems. So if you're listening to this episode today, reach out. There are resources. And with that, let's come back to WAA, Wreaths Across America. And the mission continues: service, sacrifice, success. And that's what we want, success.
Well, and I love how you said it, that, you know, these are solvable problems. And I think one of the challenges that we face, Mark, is, you know, so often we hear some of these things, like talk about veterans homelessness. People have sat there and said, you know, oh, there's got to be millions of homeless veterans. How could we ever solve this problem? And it's wrong on a couple different levels, because one, there's only about 50,000 homeless veterans in this country. Don't quote me on that figure. I'm rounding, grossly rounding, if anything. Mm-hmm. But the figure is very much a manageable figure when you really think about it. The same thing with veteran suicide. We sit there and say, you know, oh, 22 people a day, how could we possibly solve that? And the answer is, it's those small actions. And one of the things that we do through Wreaths Across America, and you talked about this, right? So both you, Mark, and your producer, both of you have participated in this, in Wreaths Across America, the actual wreath laying, and the power of that moment, right? It sounds like such a simple act. Lay a wreath, say the person's name. It's so simple, but it creates such a profound connection between you. And I'll share a story. You know, my last active duty assignment was actually in Washington, D.C. And so I was right there next to Arlington. And so anytime someone would come down to visit me, they'd say, well, can you take us to Arlington? And so I had been hundreds of times. And so the first time I went with Wreaths Across America, and I went down and I was in a part of the cemetery that this was not Section 60 where our younger veterans are buried. It was another part of the older cemetery. I had no connection to this individual whatsoever. They were a World War I veteran. And I lay the wreath, and just this overwhelming sense of just emotion, raw emotion came over me. And I was kind of surprised. I was taken aback. I said, where did that come from? But as I've come to know it, as I've come to talk to more of these volunteers, that's the strength of this program, is to create that connection, to help people understand the veteran experience on the personal level. Because when we can think about Arlington National Cemetery, where it's over 60 acres of headstones, you know, that's a big story. But the true story lies in each and every one of those individual headstones. So whether you're participating in a cemetery like Arlington, or you're participating in a cemetery that's local to you, where you might only have, you know, 10 or 12 veterans, it's building that meaningful experience. It's taking those small actions. And I think that's something that through our TEACH initiative, we really try and promote to young people too. You know, not everyone needs to join the military. Not everyone needs to become a police officer. But each and every one of us can find that small thing that we can do. And you mentioned, as before we went to break, the suicide prevention hotline and the Veterans Crisis Line. I tell people all the time, put that number in your phone. Save it as a contact. And you know, you might never need it. But if you do need it, it's there. And that's a simple thing that you can do that, you know, it might mean nothing. But if you use it, it's going to mean the world to someone. And there's so many of those small actions that we can choose to take that are seemingly simple, but can literally mean the world to someone else.
Yeah, and I loved how you said, you know, your local cemetery, it's not as visually overwhelming like when I went to France and I stood on the hillside above Omaha Beach and I looked at all of the white ivory crosses of the Allied forces. And then I went and stood in the German cemetery, which is all black crosses. And when you see those, it's almost overwhelming, but you're right. It's one big story for freedom. But within that big story, each of those crosses represents a personal story, a personal sacrifice. And I'll never forget it, Joe, as we were getting ready to call it a day, it was about 5 o'clock, standing up above Omaha Beach, and this fog rolled in over all of the white ivory crosses. And there was a family there that was receiving a flag. They were actually playing taps and they were lowering the flag. And it just made my hair stand up. I'll never forget it, this fog that just rolled in. It was very, it was like just full of love and grace. And it was like you could just feel the spirit of all of those soldiers kind of move through me, I guess is how I would, you know, say that. And even to this day, I can't, even at the end of Saving Private Ryan, gets me every single time with the salute, the Ivory Cross, every single time, just talking about it just brings up emotions. But I love how you talk about that bigger story. And I would say to everybody, go to Arlington, go to these cemeteries that you can visually see how many people sacrificed to give us the democracy and the freedoms that we enjoy today. And it is a reminder, freedom is not free. And there's a lot of people that have given their life to have the joys and civil liberties that we have today. So I love that. One big story, but within it, many different individual stories, but all represent of the whole. And
I've talked about, I've used the Saving Private Ryan in previous op-eds around Memorial Day as well, you know, and that moment, and I got to assume it's the same one, when he sits there and he turns to his wife and he says, tell me I'm a good man. And I think a lot of people don't recognize the raw emotion that exists in that question. Because of course he was really looking, I mean, this was someone that was genuinely, and of course it's an actor, but there's a reality to it, right? There's reality in that emotion of, you know, recognizing that, you know, the men and women that gave their lives so that he could have his future. And it was evident through that scene in that just that one simple question to his wife, you know, that's what that was for. And I think that's something that is, you know, that's part of that veteran's experience that we started talking about at the beginning of the program, where, you know, that is something that weighs on all of us. You know, again, I go back to guys like Adam or Tony that I knew in college. You know, Tony never had the opportunity to meet his daughter. You know, so thinking about all the joy that I experienced in being a dad, you know, all the amazing things that I've been able to accomplish in my post-service career, you know, and recognizing and being just truly grateful each and every day that, you know, I've done that. And I totally recognize it. And I think that, you know, by sharing these stories, by sharing these experiences, by helping to connect people with our veterans and share that story, you know, it's something that can be healing for all of us. And I we can't help but talk about the fact that, you know, this country is going through a period of time that, you know, we need to find those opportunities to rally together around a common purpose. Mm-hmm. And our veterans, I can't think of no stronger purpose than making that connection to our veterans, because whether they made the ultimate sacrifice or not, these are men and women that felt so strongly about what this country stands for that they were willing to give their lives for it. And that's just such an incredible thing to hold on to, and such a really motivational piece of how we can you know, live our lives. And like I said, you know, incrementally better. What can we do today to make us just a little bit better and to make our communities just a little bit better than they were yesterday?
Yeah. And, you know, it's still an oath that I hold true when I raise my right hand for the Constitution. It's an oath, you know, that's back in 1993. So it's been a little while, but it's still an oath that I live by and that I try to do better each and every day. And, you know, I have to say, you know, Steven Spielberg did an excellent job with that movie at the end, because I believe that the gentleman that actually salutes is actually a veteran that was cast in the movie. And, you know, as it fades out with the American flag, I thought he just did such an excellent job of capturing what many veterans go through. And, you know, before we get to the end of the show, I wanted to read a quote from, you talked about, you know, if you had a relationship to President Ronald Reagan, and I actually had a quote written down for today's show, and it says this, quote, "We remember those who were called upon to give us all a person can give, and remember those who were prepared to make that sacrifice if it were demanded of them in the line of duty, though it never was. Most of all, we remember the devotion and the gallantry with which all of them enabled their nation as they became champions of a noble cause." And that's from the great President Ronald Reagan that said that. And, you know, I want to again say thank you for hanging out with me today to share this mission, to share your story. Like I said, it's not every day I get to hang out with a Purple Heart recipient. What was that like? Just curious, before we close, going to the White House, receiving that. Just, I'm curious, because I don't know if I've ever really talked to the guest that's received a Purple Heart.
So I received the Purple Heart as a result of a suicide bomber. So I was in an area of Ghazni that was not great. And I remember I had just gotten back from R&R leave. And I was really anxious. I actually didn't enjoy my 2-week vacation that I had from combat, because I really wanted to be back with my platoon, with the men that I was responsible for leading. I felt a strong obligation to be there for them. And so I had rushed back, and the morning I was there, I remember I was actually doing a functions check on my weapon. And as I pulled the trigger on the weapon, it was like a movie. Like, literally everything around me suddenly became covered with dust and debris, and I got knocked back onto my back. And the suicide bomber detonated himself about 15 feet away from me. And let me tell you, it's an experience. And it really does put you into, you know, help you understand the context of life, of how fragile it can be. I mean, literally every member of the platoon was wounded on that day. Wow. And yet we still had an obligation. We were by ourselves. And so we had to keep going. And I think that's the thing that, you know, I talk about, and, you know, one of the stories I like to tell, and I know we're coming up against a clock here, but, you know, Kevin Edgen was a corporal. He was riding two vehicles in front of me during a pretty nasty ambush. And, and unfortunately, this is going to be a very short version of the story, but, you know, Kevin was up in it's a gunner, and he got hit once in the helmet. And so he got hit in the helmet, and he pops back down. The other person in the truck checks him out. He was fine. And so he gets back up, and he keeps engaging the enemy. And then the enemy hits the weapon, and the weapon becomes disabled. And so then he pops down again, and he grabs an M4. And he gets back up, and he keeps engaging the enemy until finally he struck again. And this time in the neck, and this time he wasn't able to recover from the wounds. You know, so when I think of that, you know, someone like Kevin, who, you know, talk about discomfort, but he chose deliberate discomfort because it was the right thing to do, because he knew if he didn't do his job, no matter how scary, no matter how uncomfortable it made him, that it meant the lives of the others that were around him. And, you know, he gave his life, not just for our country, but for those of us that were in that convoy with him that day. And, you know, to me, that is something that inspires me each and every day, to be a better person, to be a better dad, to be a better American.
Well, God bless you, Joe, and thanks for being on the show today. Again, if you want to get involved with this great mission, WAA, Wreaths Across America, you can go to wreathsacrossamerica.org. org. Get involved. It's a great program. Joe, thank you for your service. Thank you for being here. You know, just one of these emotional episodes that I love doing. This is a way to honor my grief, but also to be in service to our veterans. And I just want to close this out, if I could, with a closing quote from our first president, President George Washington, who said this, quote, "The willingness with which our young people are likely to serve in any war, no matter how justified, shall be directly proportionally to how they perceive the veterans of earlier wars were treated and appreciated by their nation," end quote. And that is the first president of the United States, President George Washington. So with that, I'd just like to say thank you for being here. Thank you for listening to the show. Thank you to Joe for coming in and sharing his journey and his story with us. We'll be back for another episode every Wisdom Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern. Until our next soul adventure together, be kind, caring, and compassionate. And most importantly, dare to dream, dare to explore, dare to live, and discover that diamond within. Thank you to all of our veterans.